The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept.
Yes. You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Okay. We might as well say it, because you're going to notice it anyway. I've been a professional speaker, radio host for 3 decades. Never once have I lost my voice. Never once. Times I've been sick, but never had a squeaky kind of voice. I do now. I wrestled with coming in, really did. And I thought, I can handle this one of two ways to make it work. One, this is your chance as callers to speak more. The more you speak, the less I have to. So, when people email me and say, Dr. Ray, don't interrupt your callers. Well, today, there'll be a lot less interrupting. And then, the second benefit of me being scratchy, I can be more like a regular counselor. Rather than giving active ideas and thoughts, I can affirm, yes, yes, oh, I see, tell me more. So I can do that. And basically I can make it to the break where I can take care of some of this stuff. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. When somebody says, I'm sorry, do you accept it? How many times do they have to, well, if you want to use the word sin against you, before you start to have a hard time accepting it? Let's say that somebody who loses their temper and says things they shouldn't say, someone who gets snarky, someone who makes unwanted comments, critiques, someone who doesn't call to tell you they're going to be late, and you've asked them to, and they've done this repeatedly. First few times, it's all right. You didn't have too much problem with it. But I don't know what the exact number is when we start to say, or at least think, if you were really sorry, you would stop doing this. You notice that? We figure the sorry is not genuine. Less than genuine words when the person doesn't change their conduct. Obviously, if they were truly remorseful, part of that would be to change your conduct. Let's take a look at this from two directions. You go to confession. If you're like me, you've been saying the same sins for years and decades. Teresa Tomeo, close to a century. So, would you like the priest who you've been going to confession to, let's say for the last 12 years, to say, Mary, I can't give you absolution. Because if you were truly sorry, You wouldn't come in here and say those same sins. You would change. That's one direction. Another direction is this. Someone can say, I'm sorry, and truly mean it. Truly, truly mean it. With complete resolve to change. But then, human frailty follows them. So, the next time they're in a similar situation, they fire off their mouth. They say things they shouldn't say. They show up late again, that they're always late. Now, it's not a matter of, I wasn't sorry when I said it, because I was. It's a matter of, when the situation occurs again, I am weak about it. So, I would suggest, when somebody says, I'm sorry, for sure don't say, well, no, no, if you were truly sorry, you'd change. Apology, remorse, that means a change of conduct. Not just words, not just words. I'm sorry is just words. How often is that flung around in a marriage? Don't say it. Then the next step, don't think it. If you think it, you get resentful. If this person truly cared about me, my feelings, my desires, my preferences, my viewpoints, if they truly cared about me, they wouldn't do this. And they wouldn't make it worse by coming in and saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Keep in mind, draw the parallel between you and the priest. When you tell the priest you're sorry, ask him, Father, how many years am I going to be able to confess this particular sin till you finally get to a point where you say to me, well, I don't really think you're sorry. Because I really don't notice any change. You come in here once a month, once every 2 months, and I hear kind of the same stuff. If you were really sorry, should be getting less. I mean, it's been years. How much time do you need? That's a trap. It's a trap to say to someone, if you were sorry, you'd change. They may have every intention of changing. You may have every intention of changing. Unfortunately, change for human beings comes by the millimeter. That's how it happens. 877-573-7825, number to call to get onto the program, 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray.
You're listening to The Doctor. Come in, pull up a couch, let's talk. The Doctor is in.
The Milas Christi 28th Conference for Study and Prayer is a weekend event aimed at helping Catholics understand their faith. Familiar guests include Drs. Lawrence Feingold, Robert Festigi, and Mary Healy. Here's Father John Ezrati and Tom Nash. The two-day event is at the Inn at St. John's in Plymouth on February 22nd and 23rd. To learn more, go to milischristi.org. That's MileschristiOrg. And hit the events tab. That's MileschristiOrg.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Did you know you were kicking in your mommy's tummy before you were born?
We were?
Yep, I just learned at school that babies move and kick before they're even born.
No wonder we're so good at soccer. Hello, I'm Marian Koharski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that conversations about right to life have become very heated, even angry. We stay away from that political fray. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options. We're here to help both mom and the baby. And we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Please call 1-800-366-7773. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Helping you to deal with the real. What you got to do. Closer you are to reality, the more you accept reality. Generally, it's a simple rule. You will live better. Michael from Omaha, Nebraska. He apparently has a grandson who gives the grandmother his wife, I assume. Or maybe Michael is the dad. A major league bad time. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hey, Dr. Ray. I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
What does this kid do to his grandmother?
He's generally a very good young man, which I know you always caution against people.
Yeah, he's a great kid. Great kid. Not on drugs.
He's a good kid. Yeah. he's digging in a little bit on this. We've got an out-of-town grandma, my mother, and she'll come on by and watch the kids very graciously for anywhere from like 3 to 5 days. Oftentimes, it's my wife and I the rare and wonderful opportunity to step out for a bit and do a little, trip in a neighboring city or something and things like this. And we've got some olders now. We've got some teenagers, and he's our oldest. He's 15. He's almost 16. In his mind, he's just like, why does,
I'm not a baby.
Just put up by the whole thing. Yeah.
And he's not a baby.
He doesn't like her style of parenting, and it's just going to be awful, Dad. You don't understand. And
does he mistreat her?
And so my question for you, Dr. Ray, is what's the basic level of respect that I need to, commit to him doing? I need to basically say, Isaac,
Total.
Okay, total.
He's not allowed to mistreat his grandmother. Is he allowed? Okay, he's not allowed to cuss.
What if he wants to spend an awful lot of time out of the house? I kind of understand that to a certain extent, but, right, that, he's like, I just want to go camping all weekend. I just want to go.
Well, I can understand that, but you don't have to necessarily allow camping all weekend. Your dad.
Yeah.
It says here when Eric, he said he will throw a fit the whole time. Is that true?
No, but he does, though. He's like, well, Dad, you don't understand. She doesn't discipline the little kids, and so, I have to, Dad. I have to step in and discipline. So what happens, Dr. Ray, is he actually can kind of ruffle some feathers on my mom's part because he'll kind of try to step in and really discipline, and understandably so. He does watch them a lot, in other settings, like for evenings and just things like this when we're out doing other stuff. And so he's used to that, but he has to kind of step back from that role when my mom comes into town because, she runs things a little differently, and he ought to respect that and just kind of, step back and let her do what she's going to do. But do you see what I'm saying? Those dynamics are a little tough for him to understand at 15, and so, he just wants to step in and I think you see where I'm going with that. But.
Yeah, I do. The demarcation line is, does he mistreat his grandmother?
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah. That's the key. That's the thing that I need to make sure that he is not doing.
Yeah, that can't happen.
Yeah,
and zero tolerance.
Yeah.
Now, regarding disciplining the kids, you can tell your mother, Mom, if you don't do it, I'll give my son authority to do it. Take some of the load off you. Or yep. You tell your son, when grandma's here, she's the disciplinarian, and if she's real loose, that's the way it is. We'll take the authority back when we get home. One or the other.
That's basically what we do, Dr. Ray. She is pretty laissez-faire, and we understand that, but it's only a few days, and it's okay. It's not going to, you know, the house ain't going to burn down. It'll be all right, you know.
Well, it sounds like you aren't describing it this way, Michael, but I'm listening underneath the words. And it sounds like if he doesn't want something, if this sits bad with him, he's going to give you grief.
Yeah, he digs in a bit, and I made the mistake of getting into, you know, some sparring with him on it this morning. We're just spinning our wheels for an hour, just back and forth, you know. I'm fixing a dishwasher, and we're just in this heated debate with each other over. And
you're trying
long drawn out things, and it's just
you're
like,
trying hey, to convince him. You're trying to convince him.
Yeah.
How well does that
yeah,
work?
Yeah, precisely. It exactly. does, right? We know that.
at the end of that hour, is he calmer or more upset?
No. Correct, and it's exactly. It's just I needed to exit stage left a little earlier than I did for sure. Yeah, because I keep thinking, oh, he'll get to that point, he'll understand.
No, he won't.
Absolutely, he doesn't
nope.
get there. And yeah,
nope.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it.
Yep.
As long as she comes over, he thinks I'm a baby. I don't want to be a baby.
Yeah.
And
well,
he's
not. And that's not what we're saying. But yeah.
And I think if just my speculation. I think the fact that he says, I have to discipline the little ones because she doesn't, is a smokescreen. I don't think that's it at all.
Yeah, by and large it is. I mean, she just manages things a little different. She does a lot of redirection, and she's... And frankly, there are absolutely no concerns there. I mean, yeah, I get it. It's totally different. You know, she might not do a timeout or whatever, but it's grandma time, okay? Like, relax, man. It's only a couple of days, and everybody's okay. Nobody goes to the hospital. You know, like, it's like, so I'm trying to impress upon him that we're okay with her.
Forget it.
Of grandma-ing, and yeah. But
forget it.
There. Yeah.
Forget
yep.
it.
Yep.
Everything you have told me, you've told him 1,000 times.
Yep.
It's not a matter that he doesn't understand. It's a matter he doesn't agree. I think you
Correct.
Need to tell him,
Correct.
Okay, son, no more. No more at all. I intend to ask grandma, or I intend to ask your younger brother or sister, were you cooperative? And if you weren't, then here's what I'm going to do about it. You know, you're going to write
Yep.
your grandma a 500-word apology. Going to be grounded for the next 2 days. I don't know, Michael, whatever you choose.
Something, yeah.
But you have to tell your son, you can't do this. Just because you don't
yep.
like that grandma comes over and you don't like the way she's loose gives you no reason to be uncooperative and difficult. None.
Correct.
And I think you're thinking,
Correct.
If I can make him understand that, he'll be nice.
Yeah, or if I can strike some compromise with him over his behavior on the weekend, like, well, just, I told him, I'm like, well, just sleep here and show her respect. But that's not, I need to go further than that. Like, he ought to
yeah.
just,
why,
yeah,
why
this
you,
is what the
why
family's
looking,
doing, this is what we're
yeah,
doing.
Why are you looking for a compromise?
No, yeah, I get it. Yeah, no, you're
you
right.
You can if you want. I mean, nobody's telling you can't. But
yeah.
if you're saying, no, if I want to raise a virtuous kid... Then one very simple thing is you don't mistreat people. And just because
yep.
they're here under circumstances you don't like, that doesn't give you reason. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to compromise. You can't cuss at your grandma, but you can roll your eyes at her and slam doors. That's compromise.
Yeah, or just in some way make her feel like not very respected or loved
right.
because you're just gone all the time and you don't really want to give her the time
right.
of day at all, which I don't think is appropriate. She's only out here every once a year, maybe. So,
No. He's got to learn.
She wants to see you just as much as anybody. So
he's got to learn to respect her.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Dr. Ray. He tells me, he's like, well, I really don't because of X, Y, Z.
I really don't. That's no excuse. I don't respect her, so therefore I don't have to treat her right.
Yeah,
right? That's nonsense. Man, oh man, if we only treated people right that we respected or we liked, oh
mm-hmm.
boy, we would be among the worst interpersonal Christians you ever wanted to see.
Yep. Amen to that. Thanks, sir. Thanks for always helping kind of navigate some of this stuff, Dr. Ray. We've been with you for a while, sir. We've been with you for a while. We've been back in the Dr. Ray Guarendi gang since this young man was in diapers. So
I think you're thinking of my dad.
For you and your ministry, and I thank you for that. So,
Michael, I think you're thinking of my dad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize. My mistake. My mistake.
That's okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Ray.
Hello, Mary. Youngstown, Ohio, our Living Bread affiliate. How you doing, Mary?
Oh, fine. How are you? Well, you're good. Not well, I see. Probably.
Yeah, I thought I could do it, Mary. I'm kind of floundering a little bit.
Yeah.
But I hope I'm still reaching the heights of IQ that I would normally.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So, what happened, Mary?
Oh, you know, well, I was married and my husband died early. But, you know, then his sisters, two of his sisters died. One of them I kind of made amends to. The other one I really didn't. And I don't know, I mean, she's dead. And I don't know how I can make amends to her. I guess if she's in heaven, she'd forgive me. But I don't know if I have any obligation to make amends to her children, because you know, I know that according to the religion, that you know, when you treat somebody poorly, it goes on for generation. So I don't know if I should let it go, or you know, say I'm sorry that I treated your mother poorly. I don't know. Yeah.
Let's look at this several ways, Mary. One, do you feel that the way you treated their mother was your fault? In other words, this woman was not difficult. She shut you out. You tried to be consoling with her. You tried to connect, and it didn't happen. Is it that, or you said, no, I don't like her, and there were times I was just snotty to her?
Yeah, she, they used to, you know, talk about me against me. I was a daughter-in-law, blah, blah, blah. So we really never got close. I mean, I kept my distance pretty much, really. That's what I did, yeah.
I'm no moral theologian, Mary.
Mm.
But you have no moral obligation to go
really?
To the kids,
okay.
No, and to say,
okay.
Hey, I mistreated your mother. I think I did. I'm not sure how much. The situation was very complex.
Right.
She mistreated me, too. We didn't have a good relationship. I just wanted to tell you that. Because you can't make amends to them. How are you going to make amends? You going to give money? What are you going to do?
Yeah, really.
You know, I think what you want to do is just clear your conscience.
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, my husband died, and it didn't go well. And, you know, she was, well, at that point, she was kind of nasty to me. And I just, you know, we just didn't see, we never got along, that's all. And
well,
even then, it was not.
That's not necessarily anything wrong.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily anything wrong that you have to make amends for.
Yeah.
if you have a hard time relating to somebody and they're difficult, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
If you go to their, if you go to
there
the,
there are difficult people out there, and sometimes you try, you have to bite your tongue, and arrogant people and know-it-all people, those are the kind that get to me.
Stop it, Mary. You're describing me. Stop it, Mary.
Like,
you're describing me.
Or they have an attitude like, you're really stupid. Why don't you understand this? And it's like, well, I'm not an engineer. I don't know how to, you know, that kind of, people do that to each other. I don't know why they don't have more patience and just take their time and make sure people understand things. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to let you go, but I think you would just add more problems if you went to her kids. And I don't even know how you would begin to say, we didn't get along, and for whatever I did, I'm sorry, and I just wanted to tell you I'm sorry. I mean, you can do that, but I'm not sure it's necessary or it would even do anything good. All
you're
right,
right.
Sweetheart. Thank
you're
you. Right. Thank
you for the call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey.
I hope your cold gets better soon.
Thank you, dear. 877-573-7825. Hey, you guys got to call in here because I don't want to do all this talking. All right? And I'm interrupting less than I normally do because I'm letting people talk. rest of my voice, because I got to head out Saturday and Monday to speak.
Are you tired of investing in the culture of death? Would you like your investments to be in line with the Catholic Church? Would you like an advisor who is a fiduciary and who understands retirement issues while sharing and respecting your Catholic beliefs? Contact Joseph Vitale at American Retirement Advisors at 855-756-5700, helping you preserve your retirement while preserving your beliefs and values. Call Joe at 855-756-5700. The shout of the
King. Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord, our relationship to the church, the precepts of the church, our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from a Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Jimmy Smith. Except it's not Jimmy Smith. But he was my hero. I'm Dr. Ray. I appreciate you hanging with me. Halfway through here, I think I'm going to make it. And then I will go home and be the perfect husband. Because I can't speak. And I can nod. And say, yes, dear. Interesting question coming from Oregon. Early childhood trauma. How does it affect someone for life? Hi, caller. How are you?
Well, I'm. I think I'm doing better than you are, so I hope you get well soon.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. What's going on?
Well, what I'm curious about is early childhood trauma that occurred to a woman who is now grown, an adult. The trauma was incest. It occurred from for a number of years and quit when she was around 10 years old. Now, she saw a lot of physical abuse in the marriage relationship, and the mother was not very... she didn't show a lot of empathy for things, for her in particular. Her brother, definitely, but for her, no. Now, did she know what's going on? I certainly hope not. Now, let's transport further ahead in life. This individual seems to have an inability to be able to pick up on cues. Like if somebody's having a real tough time, a lot of us will have a tendency to want to, you know, maybe put your arms around the other person and console them and that sort of thing. She ends up looking like a deer in the headlights. And it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do here. Is she going to ever be able to develop this? Or is it something that because this was not allowed to develop early on in life, much like the studies they did with baby birds where they covered their eyes up at an early age, and when they uncovered them, those synapses had not developed and they couldn't see. Does the same thing happen emotionally?
There are those who think it does. But what we do know, sir, is all of what you've described is very complex. You
yes.
said something that answered... Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say she has been going to therapy, extensive therapy, for about 4 years now. But it doesn't seem to have gotten any better.
You said something that answered a question I was going to ask. And you answered it before I even asked it. I said, sometimes in situations like that, where there's that ongoing sexual trauma, the environment that the child is in is also not good. There isn't
yes.
support, there isn't love, and so the child has to deal with all this pretty much on their own. And that will not mitigate some of the effects of this. It will also create a person that may or may not, independent of the sexual abuse, be able to relate to others. Okay?
Okay.
How old is she?
Well, she's now approaching late 60s. I will say, and one thing that I did fail to mention was, this was suppressed memory. And it didn't start to come about until the death of the mother. The father died a long time ago. Okay. But when the mother passed away, all of a sudden things started coming to light within her experience. And as she went to therapy, it was discovered that that this abuse had happened.
What years did she start going to therapy? How old was she?
She would have been early 60s.
The reason I ask that is because the repressed memory syndrome really hit the scene hard back in the 80s. And it was just popping up everywhere. And they were saying a lot of therapists were discovering it in their clients, but then what they noticed when they further investigated it, it was really only a small handful of therapists who are accounting for most of the discovered repressed memories. You didn't ask this, but the repressed memory is a very shaky concept. Very.
Okay.
Here's a young girl who was misused repeatedly all the way to age 10. And she allegedly blocked all of it. This is not a 3-year-old who was misused once or twice or five times at age 3 to 3.5. This was a child to age 10. Now, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I can't know that.
Right.
But I am saying I would have more confidence that it happened if she remembered it. Because trauma is usually far more likely remembered than repressed.
Okay.
However, your original question, she's late 60s. Is her personality going to change? Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. She is who she is. She approaches life the way she does. She's a function of her wiring and her experiences in life and childhood and young adulthood. So she is who she is. And the way she approaches things, the temptation is always to say, well, there was the trigger cause right there. We've discovered it. She went to therapy. They discovered repressed memory. Now we understand why her personality is the way it is. Not necessarily at all. Her personality is a complex blend of all kinds of things. not the least of which was a bad upbringing.
So it would be, what do I want to say? While it may be a factor, it may not necessarily be the cause.
That's right. And it may not even be the main factor.
Okay.
Because it's a very complex stew.
Yes, yes. And trying to figure it out when you're living with a situation can make it...
I wondered if this was your wife.
Did I say that?
You didn't, but I wondered.
All right, very good. Thank you so much, Dr.
All right,
Ray.
Sir.
I appreciate your insights.
Thank you. I appreciate it. When we come back, David is going to scold me. And I think perhaps rightfully so. I will make excuses for me. They may not hold up. May not hold up. Nevertheless, I'll try.
The next third Sunday concert of the season at Old St. Mary's Detroit in Greektown will be on February 16th at 2:30 p.m. and is going to feature a program of music by women composers. Performing will be Joanne Clark on organ and Bob Barnhart on harpsichord. There will be a free will offering, and there's free and guarded parking as always. For more information, please see oldstmarysdetroit.com. That's oldstmarysdetroit.com.
Understanding the theological and pastoral issues related to the experience of our brothers and sisters with same-sex attraction and gender identity is tough. Ave Maria Radio invites you to activate your faith by participating in a workshop by the Archdiocese of Detroit that addresses these issues from the perspective of youth and pastoral ministry. Building off Archbishop Bignaron's pastoral note, Father Dave Tomaszynski and Father Steve Pullis, Director for the Evangelization and Ministry Discipleship, will address the Catholic Church's theological foundations of the human person, as well as pastoral responses to the experience of our community members. The event will be at Sacred Heart Major Seminary and is $10 per person. You can register online at the Archdiocese of Detroit website. For more information on this and other events, and to add your event to the community calendar, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Just click Community.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, good Lord permitting, this Saturday we'll be at the Regina Caeli Banquet in San Antonio. So those of you in that area want to go to the folks at Regina Caeli in San Antonio and get a dinner seat, then delighted to have you. Then from there I'm going to fly up to Fargo, North Dakota, Real Presence Radio. They have a huge fundraising banquet on February 17th. 1,000 people. I asked them, do you always get 1,000 people? That's impressive. They said, no. Most of the time we get 2. But we had you as a speaker, so it cut it in half. I said, oh, well, okay, but I still think 1,000 is a lot. So if you're interested, those are the two places to contact. I hope to see you. All right, now... Most of the time, when people disagree with me, they disagree because of something I said. They don't like the way I said it. They don't like the conclusion I drew. Excuse me. They didn't like the words. Well, David here doesn't like the behavior. He doesn't like the action. He is... Well, he is disagreeing. I came in to work today. Well, I didn't come into work, Dave. It's not really work. I'm kind of sitting here sipping water on a reclining chair in front of a mic. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Okay. You thought it'd be better if I'd have stayed home.
Well, yeah. We hear all the time on the news, when you're sick, you should stay home so you don't make other people sick. And I just think it's disrespectful to other people to go out in public when you're sick and potentially make other people sick. Because some people, they catch the cold or they catch the flu, they get pneumonia. People can even die. So someone going out disrespecting other people, they may cause somebody to get pneumonia and even die, let alone just, you know, getting the cold or the flu. It's just a pet peeve of mine. I go out and you go to the grocery store or something, and the checkout people are coughing and sneezing, and I just go, don't these people hear that when you're sick, you stay home so you don't make other people sick? That's my point.
Well, your point is well taken. Let me give you a couple behind-the-scenes pieces of information. My daughter, who's an emergency room nurse, took me to the emergency room last night. They were concerned that I was not shaking this. And I haven't been sick in 25 years, so I don't know what the heck's going on. They checked me for pneumonia, clear. Checked me for the most dominant flu strains, clear. So I really didn't know what it was. I personally thought it could be a sinus infection. Sinus infections can really blast you. Can stuff you up, can get all kinds of drainage, make you cough like crazy. And that's what Debbie here is going to say. The other thing, David, is that I am in a room all by myself. There's nobody in here. This is a studio. Okay? So I'm near no one as I'm doing this program. Does that make you feel a little better?
Well, yeah. I asked the call screener if you were broadcasting from home or if you had to go out into public and go to a studio, and he said you went out into a studio, so I assume that you come in contact with people somewhere is coming into the studio or whatever.
That's true. That is true, but as far as I know, nobody will use this studio for the rest of the day. But your point is well taken, and it's particularly well taken if you don't know what it is.
Right.
I think I got a pretty good guess as to what it is. It's just hanging on. It just won't go away. Thank you, David. I appreciate it, buddy.
Yep.
Debbie's a nurse. She called, and she didn't stay. And she says, Dr. Ray, you sound like you have a sinus infection. That's up at the top of the pyramid, Debbie. She says, get some antibiotics. Problem with that is, how do you determine whether it's a viral or bacterial infection? Okay? You go to your doctor. That's true. I don't know if he has the ability to do that, to check it. They did a swab on me, and the swab came back clear. You know, I felt kind of bad that they didn't discover anything serious, because I had to go home and worry about whether my wife was going to call me a baby. That was big. You know, I went home and I told her. She said, what did they say? I said, well, I have a blocked kidney duct, a stone that is clogging the pancreatic duct. I have an arterial problem with my heart feeding the lower chambers. And my stomach lining is wearing away. And they said, well, how'd you even walk in here? I said, well, hey, I'm tough. Just tough, you know? My wife didn't buy it. All right, Shelley, you stay right there. We will come to you after the break. I'm Dr. Ray.
St. Jude Realty is a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio. Santa Brico is the owner broker who provides comprehensive real estate services in the Metro Detroit area. Her team is committed to providing unparalleled expertise and unmatched creative energy for buyers and sellers. Count on St. Jude Realty to answer questions quickly, solve problems prudently, and get you to the closing table. Contact Santa at stjuderealty.com. That's stjuderealty.com.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, there is a lot of discussion today in the Latin Rite about priestly celibacy. A monk from an Eastern Catholic monastery will share a perspective on this that brings the discussion to baptism and the episcopacy.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Our topics during Cresta in the Afternoon toggle between church teaching and then using that teaching to shine a light on our world. We'll look at Christ and culture, church and world, religion and public life, from abortion to Zechariah and everything in between. Biblical criticism, Hollywood productions, academic debate, family and love, prayer and spirituality.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, the Together with Jesus Couple Prayer Series, helping married couples learn how to pray together for and with each other to strengthen their marriage and grow in holiness. To order, visit the website at www.coupleprayer.com. If you want to be a day sponsor and or want to say a message for a loved one or friend, call 877-288-1077.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Just to prove my manhood, I am not staying quiet during the whole bumper stream. Those things are about 20, 30 seconds long. We've got about six of them per show. I could have bought close to 3 minutes worth of silence, but I didn't. Decided it's time to talk. Shelley! Shelly from Omaha. Hi, Shelly.
Hello.
How are you, dear?
Good. How are you? Good. I already know that.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. What's up?
Well, my husband and I have 10-year-old daughter, 14 and 15-year-old son, and my parenting style and his parenting style are a little bit different. They're actually not different. It's just, let's back that up. I stick to it, no matter how hard that is, because a lot of times it's, you're grounding yourself. And he doesn't tend to, and the kids are figuring this out. So,
are you the more consistent parent?
Yes. It's, for me, it's always been black and white. If you do or don't do what I am telling you to do, this is the consequence. Do we understand? Yes, I do. Repeat it back to me. Okay, great. We're all on the same page. Yes. X happens. There's a consequence. And all of a sudden, where's Chase? Oh, well, he went shooting with Devin. He's grounded. Well, okay. I don't know what to tell you. I forgot, I guess. Oh, well, then do you want me to go get him? Yes, I do.
Your husband would not give you grief. Your husband would not give you grief if you said, well, since he went behind my back and he played us, now he's grounded for 2 more days.
Right, and we've talked about that. It's like, well, okay, maybe you forgot, and that's fine. We forget. We fall down, we get up, we're human. Chase knew that he was grounded, so Chase needs to be grounded long. Well, then now it's just the circle of, you know, and when I discipline, a lot of the times, it's the, if his back is turned towards me and I can see the kids' face, the kids are looking at me, listening, and then I see the kids look at him, and then do a half chuckle.
Does he know that he's throwing you under the bus?
He does know.
And he feels bad about that?
The child or the husband?
The husband.
No.
What do you think it is that underlies the fact that he wants to be Mr. Good Guy?
He's admitted before that I have a bond that he doesn't have with the kids. And I said, well, I'm the nurturer, you know, you're the worker. I do work outside the home, too. But I'm the mom, you know. It ebbs and flows, you know. All of a sudden, they'll be all about dad, and they're all about mom, and all about dad. And that's okay, because we all know that's what kids do. Who's their favorite, depending on from week to week. But I think he's asked me before, why do you think they don't? It's to the point now where they just won't respect what I tell them, because they know that dad's going to basically go behind my back and just let them do whatever.
And he does this deliberately? Shelly, he does this deliberately?
He's asked me before, why do you think, I don't know, he's asked me before, why do you think that they don't respect you? And I said, honestly, because you don't respect me.
But that doesn't move him.
No.
Your son is 15 years old, or your daughter is 15 years old.
This has been
going on for almost all of his childhood.
Oh, yes, but it doesn't get to, now we're dealing with bigger issues that, you know, they're just, I think they're safety issues, they're risk issues. I mean, the last one was, I am not allowing them, and they've known this since they were younger, because I have two older ones from a previous relationship, and same thing with them, you're not allowed to ride in cars with teenagers. For how long? I don't know. We'll revisit it again when you're a senior.
Okay, Shelly, let me jump in here, dear, because you only got 2 minutes.
Sure.
Try sitting down with your husband and saying, here are my 5 most important rules. Respect, grades, driving with friends, whatever you decide.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what I want to do to enforce those rules if they're broken. Do you have any problem with this? I bet he'll say no, because he'll be agreeable at the moment.
Well, that actually happened, because at the moment when we were all on the same page, Chase and John and I were all on the same page about what will happen when you're caught. So that was discussed. Yes, I understand. It happened. Well, Dad said that I could.
Take out the paper. Take out the paper.
And he said, well, I think that punishment's a little bit much. Well,
take out the paper, hold it to your husband, and said, this is what you agreed to. You can't say the punishment is much, because we already have it in writing that you agreed that this would be an appropriate punishment. See, you didn't have it in writing. You didn't put out the rules, because if he said that's a bit much, your husband's afraid the kids aren't going to like him. It's coming down to that.
Yes,
okay. And the sad part of this, Shelley, and I got people like this in my office constantly. The sad part of this is when they are afraid to be a loving, strong parent, more often than not, the kids end up not liking them.
And I know this and I understand it, but at the time now, I need them to be safe and I need them to get good grades. Well, I know that that's going to happen. They respect and they love the parent who has structure and who keeps them safe from from harm.
Shelly, I got 20 seconds. Get down, write the rules, have your husband sign them. So you say, the next time I put this punishment on it, you agreed to it. You can't undercut it. See what happens. This is Dr. A. I made it. Appreciate it very much. Appreciate the company. Appreciate all of you. Walk with God. Hold your kids tightly by the hand and cough into your corner of your elbow.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.